If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
In a small house in Ada where the cornrows grow, two unlikely brothers put on quite a show. Justin stands tall like a white oak tree while a biologist checking the sea. Well, the fish in the creek are his only true friends. He tracks every scale where the riverbed bends, while little Jay stands about half of his height, polishing a bowling ball late into the night. They're searching for the snallygaster in the Ohio mist, a monster on the hilltop that the locals say exists. From the bowling alley lanes to the muddy river shore, they're the strangest pair of hunters that you ever saw before. One is big and silent and the other's loud and small. In the town of Ada, they're gonna find it all. Jay puts on a record of a man named Frank, Zappa's guitar playing, his money in the bank. He's got the funky rhythms and the avant-garde soul, while he's aiming for a strike and a perfect heavy roll. But Justin looks up with a look of pure confusion, thinks the music in the air is a sugary illusion. He says, I don't want a Zappa, I'm watching my weight. Doesn't know it's a legend on a spinning plastic plate. Searching for the snallygaster in the Ohio mist, a monster on the hilltop that the locals say exists. From the bowling alley lanes to the muddy river shore, they're the strangest pair of hunters that you ever saw before. But one is big and silent and the other's loud and small. In the town of Ada, they're gonna find it all. Truck and they sing a ghost song. Justin brings the nets for a creature in the sky. Jay brings his lucky ball ankle in his eye. They don't agree on melodies or how the world should sound, but they both believe in spirits crawling underground. A biologist and bowler chasing down a myth in the heart of the country with no one else to be with. Big guy and a little guy under the moon, waiting for the snallygaster to hum a spooky tune. One wants a candy bar, one wants the groove. In Ada, Ohio, they got nothing to prove. Yeah, they got nothing to prove. Just the fish and the pins and the things that move.
Oh my god, it's a 3.5 minute intro, but it was worth it. Ready?
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Oh, we got to turn this down. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Hey, welcome back. I'm the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 50.
That was written by Uran.
Uran wrote that?
Yeah, he sent it to me this past week.
And that was great.
I'll mix that in. I'm going to cut it down for use it as a every once in a while intro. But for the first time, I had to leave the 3-minute one.
It might have to be the new Crypts of the Corn intro.
I don't know about the whole, because it's fun, but
pretty funny.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the Wednesday special, like the Wednesday intro.
One wants a candy bar, one wants a group. Something. Oh, gosh. It's ridiculous. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. I might have to listen to that again.
No, it's really good. Uran wrote it, and then, you know, he had one of the AIs. Like,
right, sing it. But
he did write it. He sent it to me when he wrote it, and it was really, like, I'm like, I'm going to have to, like, use that.
Yeah.
And then he put it through an AI, and I'm like, oh, that's it.
It's fantastic. Oh,
I
thought man.
You find the Frank Zappa stuff funny.
Yeah, that was good references. What's the word? It added up. The math on it. It all made sense.
Okie dokie.
No, that was great. That might have to be our new Patreon.
Oh, you want to use it for Patreon?
Maybe.
I was thinking like Wednesday.
Ooh. That's like better.
That's the Wednesday intro.
That's the Wednesday intro. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Because the Wednesdays are always, they're lighter.
They're laid back. Yeah, they're lighter. Yeah.
For people who don't understand, Mondays are the heavy research episodes, and then Wednesdays are the lighter, or the soft takes, or like.
Maybe we need to relabel our episodes, too, when it comes to that stuff, as far as like, maybe the Wednesdays don't need to be part of the seasons.
Yeah, that could be. And like, it don't have to be, I guess, all the time either. Like, right, we don't have one this week, but.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been, we've got this sent to us about 40,000 times. Email, Insta, Facebook.
Wait, what's today? What episode are we doing right now?
That's what I'm about to say.
No, I mean like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay. This is Wednesday. Oh. Okay. Yes. Sorry. I forgot already. That song threw me off.
No, yeah. For everybody that didn't know, that was Jay's honest reaction to it because I didn't. Yeah, me and Uran did not tell him about it. And that's the first time he heard it.
Yeah. I didn't know that was even coming. So.
The Patterson Gimlin film is a hoax.
Well, that's what everyone's saying.
Oh,
now.
That's what everybody else titled it. Yeah. So I was just figuring, you know, I just might as well title it that too.
I guess so.
No, we're not going to fall into the frigging clickbait.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into opinions and thoughts and stuff, there's not much information in this documentary, but I have the Wikipedia page for it.
Okay.
So I figure let's go through the...
What's the documentary called?
That's what we're going to... Like, let's go through all that.
Okay,
Let's go through the film guy, it's called Capturing Bigfoot.
The film guy.
What do you call that?
I don't know. The director, the producer, the cinematographer?
I have... A film guy is the best he's going to get from me.
Okay.
We all both have a strong opinions.
Yeah.
Mark Evans. Is it still Mark if it's M-A-R-Q?
Yeah.
Like, I already hate that.
Yeah, it's red flag.
All right, so it's called Capturing Bigfoot, a 2026 documentary. As of when this comes out, it only hit the film festival 2 weeks ago. Or 3 weeks ago as of when this comes out.
Okay.
2 weeks ago as of recording. And, yeah. So reports new information. I'm just reading right from the Wikipedia page.
Right.
The best thing I could find about it that's...
Right from the horse's mouth.
Non-bias.
Okay.
As far as, you know, because if you read stuff from him, like, yeah, it's this end all be all. And if you read stuff like probably more towards where we lean, it's like burn them.
Yeah.
So it's like Wikipedia just seemed to be the most like information that's not like here's the information. All right. Reports new information about an often cited 1967 film clip reported to show a walking Bigfoot known as the Patterson Gimlin film. And the men who filmed it, Roger Patterson and Robert, a.k.a. Bob Gimlin. Capturing Bigfoot is based on new and revealing film footage given to the director, Mark Evans, in 2024. Which had been locked away in a safe for decades, as well as an interview with Cliff Patterson, and now 80-year-old man associated with the film in 1967. It's directed by Mark Evans, starring Teresa Brooks, Sandy Collar, and Bob Gimlin, which I haven't seen it yet. None of us have seen it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can say it's starring Bob Gimlin.
Is he... I mean, maybe they have like a clip where they interviewed him.
They have film from 20 years ago. Yeah, from that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like attacking Bob Gimblin is probably the more appropriate wording.
I mean, on the surface, it feels that way, kind of.
Music by Jonathan Sadoff.
Because I don't want to attack nobody for the film or nothing, but...
No, I just haven't seen it yet.
No.
And it's more about, I guess, our opinions, I guess, are more about the phenomena around it, I guess.
Well, right now, yeah. Because everyone's asking us about it, so we got to address the questions people are asking us.
Because we can't even watch it. It, as of recording this, it supposedly doesn't come out till Thursday after.
Yeah. But here's my, like, on the surface, like, gut reaction to it. It's like, well, here we go. After 60 years of all this, you know, roughly, you know, I'm just ballparking it.
77, it's like 50. 87, 97, 2007, 17.
So almost 60 years.
It's pretty much, yeah. Like next year will be the 60 year anniversary. So okay. Yeah.
So after 60 years, you know, we're going to reveal there was this hidden footage that's been hidden for 58 years that's going to answer all the questions that. You know, 60 years of research and scrutiny and
the FBI tearing
down this
NASA.
Yeah. Tearing down this video, couldn't do or has yet to successfully do. And then, as the years go on, as technology progresses and like with the advancements of AI and like camera stabilization and things like that, where we can do that stuff now, it's only kind of reinforced up until this documentary, reinforced the idea of the film being harder and harder to fake or reproduce a fake.
Yeah, so onto that notion. Nothing against film festival documentaries and stuff, because I've been a part of many.
Right.
I've been a biologist consult for several.
Yeah.
That have won awards. But, you know, it's typically one or two guys. Like, for example, Christian, our friend, did both of the wildlife, him and his girlfriend did both the wildlife documentaries I was a part of. And I just sat there and made sure the information was correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no part in filming. I was just one of the screeners, I guess, for like as a biologist consult. Make sure everything that was said was biologically sound, correct to the most of my knowledge. Okay, that's two people.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I did it because I enjoy them.
Right. Yeah.
There was
yeah.
no money exchanged.
Yeah.
And
it was just for the art.
Yeah. Which is awesome. And that's film festivals, right? I love film festivals.
Yeah.
But for this analysis of the Patterson-Gimlin film that has had probably, at this point, it's the second, it's argued whether it's the first or the second most scrutinized piece of film in world history.
Next to the JFK footage, right?
Moon landing.
Moon landing, that's
JFK's
what it was.
Below.
That's right, you're right.
Not by much. One I'm not saying. Other. Those are probably, those are the top three for sure.
All right. Now, I guess without saying, without being, I guess I have to be devil's advocate. Moon landing, fake. I don't care what anyone says. It's all fake and film and staged and whatnot. JFK thing.
Well,
I don't know. Shoot.
JFK was shot.
Oh, 100%. I'm just saying, so but the film was manipulated and whatnot, and like parts were cut, and but it was highly scrutinized.
That's all I'm saying is. So the both of those, though, I know you don't believe in the moon landing.
Right,
but,
I don't.
Which is fine. But both of those, like the moon landing one has like where they're like, well, there's three forms of light. Like you can point through. And,
yeah, yeah. You can find the inconsistencies.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I believe we did land on the moon in that. But that's me. And we're allowed to have different opinions.
Yeah, we're allowed to be wrong.
One of us definitely is.
Correct. You are.
Okay. You want to start fighting this early into this?
No, we'll save. We'll just bump this to the other guys.
Yeah. But no, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I don't know. I have thoughts, right?
There's some questions. Yeah.
As far as this, but you know, we're talking hundreds of that. When we did an episode on Patterson-Gimlin film a long time ago, at that point, years ago, it was hundreds of thousands of hours of documented analyzation.
Yeah. People breaking it down.
30 seconds.
Trying to disprove it.
And no, the best that we could get is, well, we can't prove that it's real and we can't prove that it's fake.
Yeah.
And which is whatever.
Well, I think that says something.
So
still.
For a film team, a film festival documentary team, which, you know, budget wise has much more constraints than like the FBI or like, I'm trying to remember the one that really did it. It was not Hollywood, but they were like a special effects company.
Mm-hmm.
And 'cause we talked about them a long time ago where they were like talking about how to, like, if we did it, here's how much it would cost. And like, yeah, we could kind of make it look like that. We don't know the costume, but, and they're just like, well, you know, it was, I can't remember. It was like $500,000 for two cowboys out in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
That didn't have money.
Right. Yeah.
It was a lot.
A lot of money did.
Like, yeah, yeah. It could have been hoaxed. As far as they said, that one analyst I'm talking about. The
right.
Yeah, but it's going to take X dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at that time, it would have cost this much money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you could have done that, though. You could have made a suit that looked like that. You could have made it turn and, you know, hands move and muscle
thumbs tech. Move.
Don't even get me started on the stupid thumbs.
The metatarsal break in the foot.
In which we got to bring Meldrum into this.
Yeah.
Because now he's getting attacked. And that's... you want me to read the rest of this, or you just want to keep going?
Read the rest of what?
The webpage.
The synopsis?
Yeah.
The wiki?
Yeah, let me read the background and everything like that, because it's not very long. But my big thing, is like you already kind of mentioned it, is that Meldrum's dead. Patterson's dead. Gimlin hasn't done an interview or a public appearance in over 3 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know this for a fact, and I won't name names, but we've been told secondhand that, you know, he's had some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why. And we kind of knew, because we were there for a fundraiser for him for some medical bills.
And we knew then he was having health issues. And that was
5 years ago.
Roughly. Maybe four.
No, it was, yeah, four, I guess. Yeah, 2022.
I do forget how much time has passed. We started this in 2021.
Yeah, fall of 2021.
That's crazy.
But anyways, so... it's odd to me that this is when it comes out.
Yeah.
When you can take shots at several people that have taken it on the chin for the better part of 6 decades. And now you're coming out with this, and the captions, and it's maybe not this film director, it maybe not be Mark. To be fair, I've not seen him talk about his film.
No, yeah, that's true too. I wanted to say that as well.
I have no idea. Mark may be great. And if anybody gets this to Mark, and he would want to come on the show, we would love to interview him.
Yeah, well.
And then I haven't seen the documentary, but how everybody's like, it's 100% hoax. I talked, there was several YouTube videos where it's like, yeah, I watched it, it's a hoax. Like, it proves it 100%. And then you watch the videos and like, well, I talked to somebody that watched it.
Right, yeah.
And it's like 80 people have seen it.
I wonder if it all is just marketing clickbait.
I believe that they may have some interesting stuff. Stuff has come back and forth, and I don't think it's as definitive as anybody's making out to be, but once again, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm exaggerating. I think it's like around 12 or 13 people have claimed to be in the suit. And then that suit that came out is like, this is the Patty suit. And they use the cameras and everything like that. Looks nothing like Patty.
Correct. Yeah. Nothing.
And it's like, I don't know. But to be fair to Mark, I've not heard him say that it was a hoax. Besides his little... he does have some captions and stuff for his film documentary, but it's a film documentary film.
Right, yeah.
Or, a film festival documentary film. Like, it's made for film festivals. Like,
I'm trying to see the one, the one you sent me.
And so...
the captions.
And the people that it's coming out against are all dead or sick.
Okay.
That's why I'm, like... so, like, it's weird that you waited till Meldrum died for this.
For this to come out, yes. Because... he was, I mean, Meldrum would have said, like, he would have.
Meldrum did the full breakdown of the Patty cast and said that he believed they were real.
Yeah.
The walking motion, like, Meldrum's giant book.
Yeah.
And it's, and we've met Meldrum. I've never had the pleasure of meeting Bob, and Roger was dead before we really started doing this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but we've met Meldrum many a times before he passed way too young. But we met him many times. We had really deep conversations with Meldrum. Meldrum was an extremely smart man that was highly skeptical. It took a lot to convince him anything was real.
Yeah.
So if Meldrum believed in something, it was, to me, a credit. Because it had to pass a lot of tests for Meldrum to put his name on it.
Right.
Especially
in
the early days.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm not saying he got looser with it, but I think it became easier for him to tell just from looking at what's real and what's fake.
Right, yeah.
To him. And it's opinion, you're right? But you're talking about a guy that...
is an expert in
one of three in the world.
Yeah.
In one of three.
So he would only be able to...
there's can two see, now.
He can see detail or could see details that, you know, no one else, regular people could.
Yeah. I mean, so to also attack Meldrum secondarily, because I'm not sure. I haven't seen the film once again.
I was saying, are they even attacking him? Or
the
rest
of the people that are saying it's a hoax now is like, because Meldrum's whole start of his Bigfoot career was based on breaking down the Patterson-Gimlin film, the cast, and the walking motions.
Yeah.
So if it's a hoax, then everything Meldrum ever produced after that point would be a hoax.
Or
the basis of it is a hoax.
Correct, yeah.
But then it does put everything else he's ever done in his life with Bigfoot.
What's the word? Moot. It makes it moot.
Yeah, because if he's basing it all off of Patty, or not all of it, but this giant analyzation.
Yeah.
And then he used that for the rest of his work for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't. Then it's all, not. I guess, it's all moot. I guess, you know, that's the best word for it. That
moot. I don't even know where that came from.
And it's, and I just don't think so. Like,
yeah, I mean, I would like to see the documentary. But maybe there's another part in it that's a hoax. Maybe that's what the whole thing is.
Well, I'll read what they say is the hoax here in a second. I have it written down. Oh,
never mind. I guess we'll
find out. There's three major components from people that have seen it, wrote it down, and said, so I haven't seen it, but this is from secondhand accounts.
Yeah, we're doing what everyone else is doing, so might as well.
I mean, we're arguing what do you call that? The proof. It's my problem with this. The Patterson-Gimlin film is not a sacred cow. If it's fake, it's fake. It's been argued for 6 decades. And if he actually has this proof, more power to him, and we'll move on from it. And that's what it is. I've seen one, and that doesn't change anything. You guys at home that have seen one, it doesn't change anything. We've always kind of talked about Bigfoot may be more paranormal than flesh and blood anyways.
Right. Yeah.
And Patterson-Gimlin did not start the Bigfoot phenomena. And that's this huge misconception with people that are kind of on the fringes of the community.
Right, yeah.
That Bigfoot started in 1960.
Yeah, no, it did not. It's been going on for centuries.
Thousands of years. Yeah. Depending on which Native American group you pick.
Right, yeah.
They have 2,000-4,000 years of stories of Earth Mothers or Stonish Giants or whatever they call them. But when they draw a picture of them, it's a Bigfoot.
A big hairy creature.
But the way this came out at a film festival with a limited screening, and then instantly everybody was saying, yeah, it's a hoax. A Patterson-Gimlin film's a hoax. It's been proven. It's a hoax. So it is, to me, extremely the wrong way of doing this.
It's like for marketing?
It's 100% for marketing and stuff like that. Whether it's real or not, whether he's proven that it's a hoax or not.
Yeah.
The way that it has been done is extremely unprofessional. It may not have even been Mark's fault.
Yeah.
It may have gotten away from him.
Okay.
You know, if he made this documentary where he's like, well, I think I disproved the Patterson, where even, you know, use that language where I think I disproved it.
Yeah.
I have this evidence.
Yeah.
And then after that, the parrot started.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And you lose the think. You lose, you know, you start losing words.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it blows up. So it could not even, like, for Mark's sake, you know, like you already said, playing devil's advocate, it could have been where it just was interesting enough, where he had enough credibility, you know, enough evidence, enough things where, you know, it was interesting enough, and then it just got away.
Yeah.
And then every YouTuber, every person was like, oh, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. I've seen it. I've seen the evidence. It's a hoax.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder.
I'm just trying to be nice to Mark, because I don't know him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would even say it's not a bad idea to get, because look, we're talking about it now. Everyone's talking about it.
Sure, it worked.
It's not a bad idea to promote
when
something.
When his film comes out on Thursday, I guarantee it's going to have a pretty large audience.
Exactly. So I think that if it was just straight up marketing, it worked. That's a good idea. It worked. We'll just spread it like this, because I think it makes the passion in the Bigfoot community, like, it just raises it up, because everyone's very passionate that likes this stuff or believes. This is kind of a foundational.
It is. It is no
piece
no,
of the puzzle.
No way, shape, or form a sacred cow. Like I said, if it comes
it's
out
not that,
that if it comes out that it is hoax, it's hoax.
Right. Yeah.
If it is definitive, it's what it is. I've seen one. I don't know. I've always talked that I'm not always. Last 5 years now, I've been more in the opinion that maybe I didn't see a giant ape.
Yeah.
Or an ancient hominid. Maybe it was a, you know, wood spirit or something like that, you know,
yeah.
Much more of that level than, I don't know. I don't know.
You
what
don't
I
know. We don't, nobody
I
knows.
Know what I seen what Bigfoot is.
Yeah. Nobody knows. That's
but
the thing.
What, like, that's somebody, I was just talking to somebody recently, and that's like, where they mistook what I said, that I didn't believe in Bigfoot, when I was saying I didn't believe. I don't know if I believe that I saw a flesh and blood Bigfoot.
Yeah. And are the, and you know, and then it, in the Bigfoot community, just even that is controversial.
No, gosh. Like, you know, that was, I think that's where they kind of got confused, what I was saying.
If it's not flesh and blood, then it's not Bigfoot. Well, yeah, well, it looks the exact same way. So what do you want to call it then? You know, mm-hmm. Where do you draw the line? Because it gets a little fuzzy. And I think that's where, not to be ironic or anything with fuzzy Bigfoot, but that's where it gets like, I guess, caught in the weeds with people, especially within the community or even outside of it. Because trying to explain that to somebody outside of the community that doesn't research or read into this stuff or know anything about.
Well, Bigfoot's a wood spirit that just manifest.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Like, I came here to talk about an ape.
Yeah, well, but sometimes that is, like when we had Randy on our show, that's what happens. I'm sorry, but that's what happens to Randy. I don't think Randy's lying at all. I think Randy's 100% telling the truth of what he's seen and witnessed, and he's witnessed it. It's happened right in front of his face.
I will say that is Randy has some of the craziest, wildest stories I've ever heard when it comes to the Bigfoot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a liar. He's not a liar.
No.
He's crazy in a good way, like we are.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fun.
Or normal, I think. He's normal. Not society's normal.
No, okay.
A normal human being.
He's fun.
We're not all suppressed.
But he's not a liar.
No, not at all.
I've never experienced anything he's experienced as far as right. The outdoor Bigfoot side of it.
Right.
But he's not a liar.
No, he's not lying. And so you can't just throw that out with the Bigfoot conversation, because maybe what he's dealing with, and I tend to believe this, he's not dealing with Bigfoot, I just don't think. And when I say that, I mean the flesh and blood physical creature, as we know, as everyone thinks of Bigfoot is. I think he's dealing with something different that's, I guess, looks or imitates the Bigfoot phenomena, but it may not necessarily be the same thing.
I think it's, like we've talked about it dozens of times on the show, it's that umbrella term. Like, it may not even be mimicking Bigfoot or whatever Bigfoot is. It just is, it looks like that too.
Yeah, it just looks, it's that thing. It's that big, hairy hominid.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the background of the film.
Okay.
After the death of her father, Norm Johnson, the Olympic College film instructor, Teresa Brooks reached out to filmmaker and colleague Mark Evans with a reel of 16mm film that she had found in a locked safe of her father's. Norm Johnson had worked on the Boeing Film Lab during the years the Patterson-Gimlin film was made and was connected to the Patterson-Gimlin through Johnson's brother Dave. Evans developed the film and discovered a 40-second clip that was created in 1966, a year before Patterson-Gimlin's film, which shows a dress rehearsal of a skinnier Bigfoot walking through the wooded area, similar to the later Patterson-Gimlin film. Let me pause right there. They were making a film about Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan.
Yes.
More, because originally, now this is hearsay and all this and devil's advocate and all this. So the big thing that they found was a dress rehearsal with a different Bigfoot costume.
Right. Not the same Bigfoot
a year
costume.
Before.
Yeah.
And that was always kind of the thought, is that they had this like nature documentary style with Bigfoot and the mysteries of the mountain. And they were, you know, hiking out and stuff like that. Because that was always one of the weird things we talked about. One of the controversies is they found Bigfoot while making a film documentary about Bigfoot.
Right, yeah.
Which is, it's weird. It is controversial. I'm not going to argue that. It is, you know, it's, you know, it is. But saying that the 40-second clip they found from a year prior with a different, slimmer, weird-looking Bigfoot costume
disproves all this evidence that's actually in the film.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
A dress rehearsal for the skinnier walking, similar to how Pouty did, which is just walking.
Right, yeah.
A little existing. Evans realized that he was looking at and approached Cliff Peterson, the son of Roger, or sorry, Patterson, Cliff Patterson, the son of Roger Patterson, and asked if he had any insight into the rehearsal footage. Evans was surprised to discover that the son was willing to talk, but found that he had been contemplating a tell-all book when he was approached. So Cliff was already thinking about doing a tell-all book after his, you know, since 2024.
Yeah.
His dad's dead. Bob's sick.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Tell-all book. Cliff's father died when he was 12 of Hodgkin's leukemia. Or lymphoma, sorry, Hodgkin's lymphoma. Not like my mom had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Both are horrible.
Yeah.
And he lied to his son about the footage, according to this article.
Meaning how'd he lie to his son?
Cliff had learned from his mother about 10 years prior to the Bigfoot sighting was a hoax, which weighed on the younger Patterson. He wanted to come clean to the public, but his mother was upset about the loss of income and disowning her son. So, basically, Patterson told Cliff that it was real.
Yeah.
And that's what he's upset about. Because after he died, his mom eventually told him it was all fake.
Yeah.
So Cliff is secondhand at best.
So yeah, he's didn't even hear it from the horse's mouth.
His dad told him it was real.
Right.
After his dad died, his mom told him it was fake.
Yeah.
And then he's wanted to tell the world it was fake, and his mom didn't want to lose, quote unquote, the income that was getting. And so they fought, and apparently that's when she disowned him. This, once again, this is all secondhand information, third hand to us.
Wow.
I'm just reading.
Yeah. What money did they make from the Patterson Gimlin film?
I think $13.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I'm sure they made something, but I don't know. It can't be. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but it can't be a great sum because it was all available like for free.
Free, yeah. I mean, you can go on the line right now and watch it.
Evans leaned on interviews with Yakima, Washington resident who had known the filmmaker in this era, including 80-year-old something Bob Hermes, who confessed that the individual wearing the fake Bigfoot costume in the film, which he had come out before saying he was the Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Also interview from documentarian and anthropologist Jeffrey Meldrum.
So he's in the documentary?
Yes.
Okay.
But who knows what and why, because it didn't come out until he was dead.
Until after he passed away, yeah.
It also had Matt Moneymaker from the Bigfoot Field Research Organization was informed the new footage was to be released and shown in the Patterson Gimlin film was a hoax, said. This sort of chicanery have been going on since at least the 90s. The film itself debunked any attempts to debunk it.
Meaning he's standing up for the Patterson Gimlin film. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Moneymaker's like, this. Everybody says it's been saying it's fake since 90.
Correct. Here's another round of it, in my opinion.
And every time somebody tries to debunk it, mm-hmm. everything they come against it, it debunks the debunk.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of where. So far, and once again, I haven't seen it.
Right.
I want to make that very clear. Mm. This is nothing. The person that's saying that it was a hoax was not a witness
to the actual film.
His mom didn't tell him that it was a hoax until after his dad was dead.
Right.
The guy saying he was, this 80-year-old guy saying he was in the Bigfoot costume has been saying that for at least 2 decades, from my knowledge.
If not longer.
Because he knows Bob Gimlin. Like, yeah. This is the guy that Bob's like, I see.
Wasn't that as like his neighbor or something?
Is like the out Pacific Northwest neighbor.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, still, I can't see his house from my house, but.
Right.
He's like, I would pass him mowing. Like, when he was mowing and wave at him.
Yeah. That's wild.
I really want to see what Meldrum's part in this film is.
Yeah, I guess that's our. Guess we can get to that. Like, what do we expect to be in the film? I mean,
I assume that he just does his normal analysis of the Patterson Gimlin film. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna guess he didn't get final say about his part in it because he was dead.
He couldn't. Yeah. So who knows how it was edited together? Because when we met Jeff and talked to him. I mean, when I talked to him, I didn't even talk to him about Bigfoot stuff. He was dealing with his health issues, and he was describing all that to me and what he was going through and how he was feeling better that was in North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was just super nice and just.
He's always been extremely. Yeah. And he, I mean, I feel like I can read people, and he always to me came off extremely honest.
Yeah,
a little reclusive. Like
a little bit. I mean,
he's
just
a scientist.
Quiet. He's
just quiet. Most scientists I've ever had to work with. That's just more how they are.
I mean,
but if you came and asked him about anything, he'd just sit there and talk to you about it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And he could, like, when I did this, I did a Bigfoot casting.
Oh
class.
Gosh,
that was
my
debut.
And he could have, yeah,
he could have written me a new one. And but he like helped me.
He was like, "Yo, it's good. You did good."
Yeah. And he
here's added stuff.
Here's added stuff. Yeah. He helped me and like got me through it. And I was like, yeah, I leaned on him like.
Because I was supposed to be there to do it with you.
But you were having the twins.
Yes, they were we were all in the hospital. But
yeah. Jake Dressel, the famous Jake Dressel, helped me. But no, I mean, he didn't have to do that at all. I mean, he didn't even know me. And he did. He helped me. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, really nice guy. I just can't. I don't know. That would just, to me, it just says a lot. I don't know.
And Matt Moneymaker is also another controversial character.
Same with the Bigfoot field research.
Like, yeah, the BFRO. People have hard opinions on the BFRO.
Yeah.
And here's my thing with the BFRO, because I'll say it, because we're recording this before we have Jeremy on from the Bigfoot Society.
No, Jeremiah.
What'd I say?
Jeremy, close enough.
Oh, sorry, Jeremy just...
Jeremy Maya.
Jeremiah. Jeremy just messaged me on Facebook and it came across my phone.
Oh, sorry.
For the auction this weekend.
Okay.
Jeremiah from the Bigfoot Society. Talked to him all the time. We've been on each other's shows many times. He was there for the famous Clarice Pooh bit during an interview.
Okay.
But something that that bothers me, I guess, in favor of the BFRO, is that people complain that the BFRO doesn't report stories immediately, doesn't do any, like, and hides some. You gave your encounter to them to do with what they please.
Yeah.
It is their website. It is Matt Moneymaker's website. You turned in your encounter to Matt Moneymaker. He can do with it what he pleases. There's no guarantee. Yeah. Read the thing that you agreed to.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that it's going to be posted eventually or ever.
It's not like Reddit. You post it on there and it is up.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Facebook. I don't know. It's not like that.
So that's just my opinion, is that I don't like when people go that hard. Like, the BFRO has plenty of controversies that I don't agree with.
Mm.
But that's my one that everybody's like, well, they hide stories, they hide encounters and that. You gave them to them.
Yeah.
Like, Jeremiah's getting tons of these turned into him. The Bigfoot Mapping Project's another outlet that has a little bit different, like, I guess, posting procedures.
Yeah.
So you can, there's outlets now. But I mean, to be fair, for the last 2 decades prior, it was pretty much just
BFRO.
Yeah.
Just it.
And it's their website. It's his website. You can do what he wants.
But I mean, yeah, it's a niche thing where you're reporting Bigfoot sightings. Like, there is no public domain for that.
So the documentary centers around the personalities of Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, who claimed in 1967 to have 59 seconds of footage showing a Bigfoot walking in the woods of Northern California. Throughout interviews, Evan centers around profiles of the good old boys at heart of the story, none of them who seem completely trustworthy, telling a fuller picture of who Roger Patterson actually was. Evan leads on Cliff Patterson, whose relationship with his father was considered hero worship. But the son also called him a liar in the interview. The end of Capturing Bigfoot. Evans shows the recent found footage of Patterson Gimlin rehearsal. So that's it. So far, from what I can gather, and I'm not blaming Cliff.
No.
His son. Because his dad told him it'd be his mom. You know, if she really believes, but yeah. If she really believes it was a hoax, then she really believes it was a hoax.
Yeah.
If she was tired of it, like, I could see that too. She's just tired of it. He's dead. I didn't sign up to be a Bigfoot researcher.
Miss Bigfoot, yeah. Like, come on.
And they were, I mean, they still are really famous, but they were really famous when this happened.
Yeah.
And then this year earlier, different Bigfoot costume rehearsal thing.
Yeah.
Is it. It's all it's leaning on. So, unless it's, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of when we watch this. Maybe we'll after we have Jeremiah on Thursday night, me and you will sit up late and watch this documentary. I'll pay for it.
Oh, okay. I'll say, how do we even get access to it?
Apparently it's going on this weird app. And so I'm not going to advertise this app until we do it to make sure it's not going to like eat my credit card or something like that.
It's a weird, you go to this weird app and you find this, you got to download this download code. You punch in the secret,
you do a four satanic, digit number. You do a satanic ritual.
Yep. And then
blood will come out of your computer and then it'll show the documentary.
And after that, you'll be convinced it is a hoax.
So it's really leaning hard on Cliff Patterson's testimonial.
Yeah.
And this rehearsal footage from a year prior.
From 1966.
When they were going out to make a Bigfoot documentary.
Yeah. So hopefully that.
So if I have a video of Bigfoot on my phone for me and you dressed up as Bigfoot out in the woods.
Uh-oh.
And then a year later, I claim to have had another encounter. It's fake.
Yep, it's fake.
I'm not saying it. I don't know.
I have videos of you in a Bigfoot costume.
Yeah. But
you haven't
claimed to see one.
Good luck. Good luck having an opinion at all in the future. Ha! Idiot with your Bigfoot costume video.
So it says, yeah, it's Chico has claimed to be the person wearing the Bigfoot costume. And that's the guy that's been claiming for 20 years.
Yeah.
He was the guy.
I guess I'm just curious to see in the documentary how they disprove the metatarsal break in the step, like how they, or not disprove, how
they don't
prove,
have to. They don't have to. Meldrum's dead.
Well, I mean, how they proved it, because you can see it in the film. It actually does.
I have the cast in the other room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure in the documentary they prove how they fake that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll prove how they got all the muscle definition under the hair and how it wasn't acting like, you know, natural fur. It was acting more like hair than it was fur. But you can see the actual muscle definition through it when she takes a step. They should have the prosthetic boobs there, right? You know, from the costume.
So I seen somebody had a picture of one of the breakdowns that literally said fake boobs.
Yeah. Okay. So it's that should be there in the documentary. And then they should be able to explain in that fake cost or in the costume how they were able to get the thumbs to move. And they should be able to figure out how they got the proportions of Bigfoot just right. If it is all a hoax.
They did pay $30,000 for the licensing fee to use the Patterson Gimlin film.
In the documentary. Well, I mean, if you're going to spread a documentary, you're going to have the actual footage. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious because in order for them to prove to 100% without a doubt, prove to me that it is a hoax, they're going to have to answer those questions.
Yeah, I mean, Meldrum's work, God rest his soul. I mean, we're talking about one of the only ever high-ranking science individuals putting his career on the line. And putting his foot in the field. Yeah, there you go. R. Scott Nelson was another one. And he didn't do it as an extreme either, but where the stuff that they went out to debunk is what spoke to them of truth.
Correct.
And, you know, Scott was for Ron Moorhead, you know, the Sierra Sounds.
Yep.
As a cryptolinguist, and he's like, well, this is language and it's not human.
Yeah.
So that's something. Like, that's...
It ranges higher and lower than human.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot for that, but for this, you know, Meldrum was talking about the stride and how hard it would have been in a costume, and it's been tried to be recreated a million times.
Yeah.
And like I said, there was that film company that said they could do it, and they showed some practical stuff that like how to do it and stuff like that, and they're like, well, in the day, it would have cost like $500,000. $500,000 in 1967.
I mean, they need like Jim Henson on steroids back in the 60s.
He was showing like how they do that kind of stuff now.
Yeah. Now...
I haven't looked at this in probably 3 years.
Patterson Gimlin?
No. That company that did this analyzation.
Yeah.
Or they didn't say it was fake or real, but they were like, here's how much money it would have cost us to do this and with that technology.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we could do it, but it's going to be like a full-size film production.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot of money to come up with because,
I mean, now
we're not going to build the Bigfoot costume.
Now we're talking on the scale of like moon landing.
Like, yeah, production. Like, you need a lot of money to
for a minute clip.
Because that company was talking, like, yeah, you don't build this stuff without payment.
And what do they?
Because what are we going to do with it after, like, if you don't pay us?
What do they gain? What does society gain from having a Bigfoot film?
A $30,000 licensing fee. I wonder how much. I really don't know. I don't know how much money they've ever made.
You know what?
I know Bob Gimlin lives in a shack.
You might have just proved something. $30,000 license. I've seen that film everywhere. They're probably making billions.
Yeah, billions.
Billions and trillions.
I mean, I'm sure they made money.
Every time that you hit play on that button on that video.
Oh, it's $30,000?
Yeah, it goes right into their direct deposit in their bank account.
Man,
we need to start. Maybe it is a hoax.
We need a hoax.
See how you can just, I don't know. I don't know.
I've told you about my... I wanted to really, really, really do a documentary like the Animal Planet mermaids or Megalodon or something like that.
Oh, yeah, like make it real, but...
Yeah, but I want to be in the costume.
Oh, yeah? What would the animal be?
The giant salamander.
Oh, okay.
Or like I lunge out and grab you and drag you in or something like that into the like Hog Creek.
Or there's like a... And we can go through like its juvenile stages. It'll just be me in the costume. Like...
crawling around in a mud puddle in Hardin County.
It's literally just us the whole time.
And we're like, look at the mountains that it lives in. And it's just the flat cornfield. Like,
yeah, that one hill.
There's a mountain. There is a mountain. It's only about 1,200 miles away, but there is a mountain.
One time out in the field, I found like a foot tall anthill. Like, no joke.
Oh, yeah. No, they get it, put your foot in it?
No. But I did knock it over. I just broke it and tipped it over.
We used to make Luke stick his hands in him. But he'd do that to beehives, too.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
But no, I mean, like I said, we'll do an update after we watch it. But
yeah.
But we've gotten so many emails and questions. We were just like, we have to do it. I know it's I didn't want to do it until we watched it.
Right, yeah.
But until last night, they didn't say where it was going to be out.
Yeah. And I think this is good, too, because we can kind of put our thoughts about what we think is going to be there.
What if we come next week and we're like, yeah, it was a hoax?
Oh, shoot, guys. Yeah, we're done doing this.
I mean, if it... from the thing I was reading and the thing, like I said, I haven't seen it. Yeah. So I'm reading secondhand, where it's a different Bigfoot costume.
Yeah.
Like a party store Bigfoot costume.
Right. Yeah.
And it was, you know, skinny and flappy and, you know, like how, I mean, our Bigfoot costumes are.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Cause it's just a Bigfoot costume. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a Bigfoot. Like it's not supposed to look like fur Patty.
And pads and,
but like,
well, probably in the '60s they had real fur costumes.
No, it was, Bob Gimlin went out that morning and shot two bears.
And stitched it.
And it was still, muscles were twitching from the... that's how, it's actually that Cisco wearing a live bear.
Cisco?
The guy, or Chico.
The thong song?
Chico.
Oh.
Claiming, the other Bob, claiming to be the guy in the costume.
Oh, I thought it was silver-haired Cisco. They caught a bear,
and they cut it open like a tauntaun, and put him in it while it was still alive, so he could walk like that.
Like... that's what the documentary actually
reveals. The mid-tarsal break is actually where his foot was going into the bear paw.
Ah, see. It is a hoax. Proven. Right here.
That's why Patty never turns fully to face the camera, because you can see the big slit where they slided him in.
You're right. See, that's why you guys come here and listen to us. We tell you the truth.
Now, I mean, I guess I'm all for analyzation, and if it is fake, it's fake. Like, yeah. You know, they're liars and stuff like that. But those are extremely hard claims to make on two dead men. And a guy that is sick.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, but, and let's say he did, and it was public. Like, you could go watch it on YouTube right after the film festival. That's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we can all talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
To have this whole charade, because it came out March 12th, and it's the 17th of recording this.
And this guy on YouTube said it was a hoax that saw it.
Oh, my gosh. There's like 500 of them.
Yeah.
Did you read the things I sent you?
Yeah, but I was trying to find them. Did you send them to me in the group?
I can't remember. It's probably Facebook.
No, you sent it to me in text.
No text.
But I didn't see it in our individual messages. It's like they're gone.
Well, maybe they are deleted. No, it's in the group.
Oh, that's why. Okay, there they are. Yep, I found it.
Like People Magazine says, documentary filmmaker Mark Evans. So, like, this is a huge, huge,
yeah,
you know, that website. Had a hunch that one day he might tackle the subject of Bigfoot, but I had no idea he'd end up creating a film that could debunk the entire mystery of the creature for the last 59 years.
This is, yeah. And then the other one you sent me, it's funny.
I don't read the name of the people for one.
No, I'm not. But it just says, I just want you to know that about 2 hours ago, I believed the new documentary Capturing Bigfoot was going to be a dud. But after speaking with somebody that is in direct contact with so-and-so and so-and-so, I now do believe it is a hoax.
So I didn't even see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I sent you that one, because it's like... like, and then the YouTube videos that are going out and stuff like that, it's the same thing where they're saying like, yeah, no, it is a hoax, and watch my YouTube video where I break it down. It's like, well, I didn't see it, but I talked to somebody that's seen it, and they explained to me how much of a hoax it was.
I wonder what, just the whole point, because it's saying it's not to disprove Bigfoot, it's just this film is fake. So, okay, come on now.
As a filmmaker cutting your teeth, you tackle the famous ones.
Yeah.
And it's easy to fight men that are dead and dying.
Oh, yeah, very much so, yeah.
And it's, I guess, to me, it's this whole thing of respect. Like, I think he should have done the documentary, and I haven't seen it. I won't say it again every 10 minutes. But there's a way to do it respectfully and present your evidence. Instead of hiding behind film festivals and saying that it's going to be released on this weird app, maybe, and then...
And that, you know, that's probably more like red tape that we don't know about.
I'm sure with the filming stuff.
Because you can't, like, show stuff for...
you're not allowed to even have a trailer. I do know this from the films we've been a part of and films I've been a part of. Like, to be entered in film festivals, you can't have a trailer, you can't have anything out. It's just got to be there, which is fine.
Yeah.
But don't come out and say that you have this amazing footage until you're ready to show it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's where it gets just a little like...
Because
no one can see it. I think
you had an interview with Meldrum in here. I'm going to assume Meldrum didn't know it was about debunking
his...
And he maybe
his
did.
His work.
Oh, well, maybe he did. And he's defending himself and stuff like that. The doctor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, normally they in their contracts, they have somewhere where they, you know, well, I'd like
disclosure.
To review it.
Yeah.
I'd like to review it before it gets published to make sure I agree with it.
Right, yeah.
Or you pay them a lot more and then they don't, you know... then you can say whatever. Meldrum died.
Yeah.
During this filming. Like,
weird.
So I'm just saying, it's just extremely rude.
Yeah.
Like when, I won't name names, but like, if you have Meldrum on a slide and saying how he's a big, big faker when he's in the hospital with a heart attack.
Oh, you're talking about.
Yeah. I thought you were going to do it. But I mean, there's just, there's respectful ways to argue and debate and debunk and stuff like that. And I'm not even saying this is Mark's fault. Like I said, it could have gotten away. Like there's somebody else at the film festival was like, oh, this is it.
Right. I guess time will tell.
Yeah. So I don't know. Was this enjoyable? I have no idea.
I hope you guys enjoyed our opinions and thoughts about it. And
shorter than me answering all the emails and messages.
Yeah, but I think it's necessary to talk about. And I, again, time will tell. We'll see what all this hype, because that's everything, I guess, in the news and the media today. It's just like everything's hype until it comes around. It's just it is like a nothing burger is what they Van Jones said once.
Sure. I mean, I it's, as of now, that's where I'm kind of leaning on. And it's nothing against Cliff. It's nothing against Mark. Cliff Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Evans.
Yeah, this is where nothing against any of them.
Cliff probably believes that it was a hoax.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. But we still don't know until we see it. So, I guess we'll find out when we see it. We'll do part two of this.
When we come out with part two, we're like,
guys.
Yeah, it's a hoax. Just, all right, bye. We're done.
Show's over.
I guess I didn't see Bigfoot.
Yeah.
It was a cat.
Enjoy this song. It's the last time we'll ever play it.
Oh, gosh. No, anything else? I mean, final thoughts. I mean, it probably won't be next week. It'll probably be the week after do our part two.
So stay tuned.
But yeah.
For the follow-up.
If I'm not going to post the links to where to go watch it until after we
do
it.
Right.
Because I want to make sure that it's, because it's a website I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's just but
there's
sketchy.
There's a lot of stuff in the film festival circuit that's like that.
Right, yeah. Portals and whatnot. Well,
yeah, because like the nature documentaries I was a part of, like, it was weird to watch them.
You got to download the Kanye West app in.
It's like Internet One.
I forget what that was called, yeah.
Where you got to go through three different things. I got to go to a plumbing website and type in shark.
And then pull up your command box and put in the floppy disk and.
Well, I've been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 50.
Enjoy this song by Aaron.
Yeah, play it again.
Huron.
In a small house in Ada where the cornrows grow, two unlikely brothers put on quite a show. Justin stands tall like a white oak tree, while a biologist checking the sea. Well, the fish in the creek are his only true friend. He tracks every scale where the riverbed bends, while little Jay stands about half of his height, polishing a bowling ball late into the night. The searching for the snallygaster in the Ohio mist, a monster on the hilltop that the locals say exists. From the bowling alley lanes to the muddy river shore, they're the strangest pair of hunters that you ever saw before. Big and silent, and the others loud and small. In the town of Ada, they're gonna find it all. Jay puts on a record of a man named Frank. Zappa's guitar playing, his money in the bank. He's got the funky rhythms and the avant-garde soul, while he's aiming for a strike and a perfect heavy roll. But Justin looks up with a look of pure confusion, thinks the music in the air is a sugary illusion. He says, I don't want a Zappa, I'm watching my weight. Doesn't know it's a legend on a spinning plastic plate. They're searching for the snallygaster in the Ohio mist, a monster on the hilltop that the locals say exists. From the bowling alley lanes to the muddy river shore, they're the strangest pair of hunters that you ever saw before. But one is big and silent, and the other's loud and small. In the town of Ada, they're gonna find it all. Truck and they sing a ghost song. Justin brings the nets for a creature in the sky. Jay brings his lucky ball ankle in his eye. They don't agree on melodies or how the world should sound,
but they both believe in spirits crawling underground. A biologist and bowler chasing down a myth in the heart of the country with no one else to be with. Just a big guy and a little guy under the moon, waiting for the snallygoss to hum a spooky tune. One wants a candy bar, one wants the groove in 8 Ohio. They got nothing to prove. Yeah, they got nothing to prove. Just the fish and the pins and the things that move.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.